Welcome one, welcome all to the podcast Randomly Typed. My name is Lance, and here we have JS.
Hey, that's me.
And today, what are we going to be talking about?
That's a good question. So the general theme will be the halting problem.
The halting problem?
Yes.
Interesting.
So let's start with a small question. So Lance, could you write a program that takes two things, a string or a program, and the arguments of that program? So that program should return true or false. It will return true if the program you receive could be halting, so stopping, or false if it will never stop.
That sounds very hard. So I feel like this is what most like compilers do for a static analysis, at least in some degree. Maybe not the objective. The objective isn't necessarily to find out whether it stops or not, but this is of compiler level difficulty, it seems. So it depends on the program.
Yeah, well, sure.
So I guess for the trivial case, so like if your program was just an immediate return, then you can say definitively that mm-hmm. it stops. Other ones, if it was just like a for loop or a while true that ran forever, then you could say it can. In some cases, I could.
Yeah, and we see this like in some linter that is telling you, hey, this code is dead because your while true will never stop.
Yep.
And what if the while takes a function to know if it's a true or false? Is it easy to say if it will ever stop?
Depends what the function is.
Right. So that's a question. How deep do we need to go to understand the program?
Right. So that's actually what the halting problem attempts to solve, which is there a program that can tell in every case whether a program will halt or loop forever? So that's kind of the definition of the problem, which was unsolved until the 1930s, actually.
So the problem was first posed by David Hilbert in 1900, and it was a mathematical question, not a computer science question.
Right, so this does relate to logic, in that computing is sort of the practical application of logic. And David Hilbert, a famous mathematician, had some fundamental questions about piano arithmetic, which is a system, like a mathematical system, to describe all natural numbers. So 0, 1, 2, 3, and to infinite, right? There's a few basic axioms, and then you can develop some theorems based off of that. But a lot of problems were kind of relying on this piano arithmetic and the piano axioms. And apparently it was of utmost importance to develop more comprehensive understanding of mathematical systems in general. So he posed a lot of questions, apparently, 23 of them. But one of them dealt with piano arithmetic, and he had three sub-questions, apparently, which was mathematics complete?
Oh, then that's a big question.
Yeah. So complete is that every true statement that you can make can be represented by the system, and that like your axioms and resulting derived theorems can represent all true facts.
So the question here is that, do we have a good enough mathematics system to understand everything?
Whether mathematics can guarantee that if something is true, then it can be proven.
Okay.
Right, so that's complete. He also had the question, was mathematics consistent? And this one is similar to kind of computer science consistent in that there are no contradictions. Right. There are no, like, everything makes sense within the system.
So in your complete system, there's no two axioms that are contradictory.
Yes, exactly. And the third one was mathematics decidable? So this one's a little bit more, not convoluted, but a little bit more nuanced. It's that all theorems can be proved given a finite amount of time, in that you can't have a proof that relies on infinite
computation?
Yeah.
Huh, that's a weird one.
Yeah, I know. I found the nature of it a bit strange too, but it is just generally that you don't need an infinite amount of time to prove a certain theorem, in that like it must be provable.
Okay, sure. I can live with those.
So today, we're going to be talking about three. So the halting problem only talks about whether mathematics is decidable or not. And foreshadowing, we're going to be talking about a different proof that addresses the completeness and consistency of mathematics in a different episode, which is also very interesting.
Nice.
So the halting problem is a problem in decidability, in that the definition is we're trying to find a program, so an algorithm, whether we can always determine whether it finishes or not. And that's related to decidability in that whether it takes an infinite amount of time to run or not.
All right, so the halting problem is, will it finish at some point?
Right. A silly question we could pose, I guess, is why can't we just wait until it stops?
Well, that's for the halting problem, it's an easy one. Because if it never stops, well, you don't know that it will never halt, because it could just halt later.
Right. So that's the thing. It could take an infinite amount of time.
Minus one.
And you can't just wait for that long, right? Because you would never ultimately know. So
sure.
This is what the halting problem is attempting to solve. Alan Turing is accredited with a proof for the halting problem, but apparently it was actually the first proof of undecidability generally was done by someone called Alfonso Church. It's from lambda calculus. He also developed lambda calculus, which is an alternate system. So he had the first proof of undecidability, but Turing's is more well known because he solved it in a very out-of-the-box, unique way that hadn't been seen before with the development of something called the Turing machine.
It's a name that pretty much everyone in computer science will know.
Has heard of, at least, right?
Yeah.
So the Turing machine is kind of just a conceptual definition of a machine, but this was used as the basis for all modern machines today, actually.
So here, when you say machine, you say like computers?
Yes. Yeah, like all modern computers are kind of developed with the general idea of a Turing machine.
So when he invented the Turing machine, he in fact invented the computers.
Right. That was actually kind of just a necessary side effect to solving this decidability problem. And that, like, it was more just a tool to reason about logic.
It's crazy to think about it like that. Like, they invented the computers to solve a mathematical problem.
Right, kind of in an unrelated way. They're just like, they needed this construct to be able to reason about this, right?
Really impressive.
Yeah. What did Alan Turing ultimately prove?
The halting problem.
So what's the result?
All right. So he proved that the halting problem is not possible to solve. So his proof was a proof by contradiction. So what's a proof by contradiction?
Right, it's when you make, like, grant the assumption for the thing that you're testing. You can assume that it's doable and then see how the world falls apart because of contradictions.
Right. Let's go try to define his proof. Let's say you have F. So if you pass a program to F, it will return true if it will halt at some point and false if it will never halt. So let's say this exists.
Right. We assume that such a function, however it does it through a black box mechanism, can do this.
Exactly. So now let's build a program that will break the halting problem. So let's say you have a program called H that if F and you pass H in the parameter, so you pass the program itself in the F function that is the halting solution. And if it returns true, so if the program will at some point halt, you do a while true. And if it returns false, you just return true. So this means that if the F function, which is will it ever halt, returns true, you do a while, so it will never return. So you're producing a program that does the inverse of what F is saying.
Right. So this one I always found a bit like hard to conceptually understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's like multiple layers of like meta programs in here. Because like the function F in this case is a program itself, but we're feeding a different program itself into that program, right? Pretty nuts. I like personally like to see this as like, let's say F is an actual physical machine, right? Like, and given the blueprint to a separate machine, it can tell you whether it will run forever or not, right? So you can like construct an additional machine, which based on the result of passing that into the first machine, do the opposite of what it says, right? Given that, if it never halts, you can engineer it so that it does halt, and vice versa.
Yeah, the trick here is that the program that's passed to F contains F.
Yes.
I think that's the trick.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully that was clear enough. It's pretty hard to visualize.
So that was pretty complicated to understand, but is it actually useful?
In day-to-day, maybe not.
Nice.
Actually, no, I take that back. It is useful in that you can probably, if ever you come across a situation where you need to know whether something will run indefinitely or not, I mean, I guess that's a pretty niche situation, but more generally, this proof demonstrates a fundamental limitation of computation and thus logic, which says that there are some things which just are, and that some things are the way they are in our mathematical systems generally, and there's nothing you can do to know about them. Like, there's like our mathematical systems are just incapable of detecting this particular problem, at least for some logics like ours.
But something we need to keep in mind is that it's not possible to prove it for every situation, but I would say most situations could be analyzed to say this program will halt at some point.
Right. So I guess in practical terms, you can do that, but more at the like, is mathematics as a whole complete? Not complete, sorry, because complete is something else, but is it decidable generally in that you can always be able to prove the thing in a finite amount of time? The answer is not necessarily, right? And there's nothing we can do about that, at least in our current systems, right? Like, this is the proof that we should just stop trying.
Right. Or make a new system.
Right. So I didn't mention this, actually, but this applies to first-order logic, which is our general logic, like and, or, not, stuff like that. There are, like, more limited classes of logic. If you limit some things, you can say that certain domains are decidable. Like, I know DFAs, I'm pretty sure, you can say, like, DFAs and regular expressions are decidable, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, because they don't have all the same logic or power.
As a Turing machine, right? They don't have the same expressiveness.
Oh, that's interesting.
As a Turing machine, which generally is equivalent to, like, the reasoning we have for first-order logic, which is interesting. So there's something there that either we're not encapsulating, right? Like, we haven't come up with yet.
Mm-hmm.
But at least in like the current state of mathematics, we just cannot express those things.
So here, if one day we would need to solve the altering problem for some computational problem, for example, like someone gives me a program and I need to run it in one of my VM, if we need to know if it ever alt, maybe the solution would be to give them a language that's not Turing complete, but that's actually decidable.
Yep. I mean, that would be a very, very specific use case, but yeah.
I think the Ethereum, like the, you know, cryptocurrency, Ethereum language, I think is decidable. Don't quote me on this, but I think so. Yeah, because it's a limited language.
It's not Turing complete?
Let me Google this right now. It might be the next language, but don't quote me on this. I'll do more research afterward. But I'm pretty sure there's some language I've seen at some place that are made to be decidable.
I love our random speculation, arbitrary statements we make at the end of our episodes.
Yeah.
Like, don't quote me on this. I'm pretty sure this is wrong. Or right or wrong. But
I'm pretty sure it's wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try to find more information.
So that's Alan Turing's, I mean, he's known for a lot of stuff. There was the whole movie about him, even.
Oh,
right?
That was a fun movie.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate it is, but I mean, it's a great movie nonetheless. With Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, this dude.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. The Imitation Game.
Right.
That was, yeah, for like decoding the Enigma machine.
Okay, during the World War II?
Yeah. Good movie. Can recommend.
All right, I think we're done.
Yeah, I think it's over. Goodbye, folks.
See you in 2 weeks.
You can contact us and find show notes on our website, randomlytyped.com.
The intro music is by Vansky.
Thank you, Vansky.
And thank you, listener, for indulging us.